This is Napkin Scribbles, a podcast by Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet. Today's Napkin Scribble is sponsored by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. Now here's Leonard Sweet.
Welcome to this installment of Napkin Scribbles, where we're pursuing a primer for common humanity as a Jesus human that finds particularity in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, but that can reach out to all of humanity for the betterment of all. X is an important one because it's from Greek, a xenophiliac human. Xeno, you may know the form of that word is xenophobe. Somebody who's afraid of strangers, who's afraid of the unknown. But the early Christians were xenophiliacs. They were drawn to strangers and the strange. A xenoglossophile is someone who's attracted to foreign languages and cultures, which you almost have to be to listen to these Napkin Scribbles. But a xenophiliac human is someone who's not only not afraid of the unfamiliar and unknown, but is strangely warmed and attracted by them. In fact, history's first hospitals, you do not have hospitals in history anywhere in recorded history until Christians, because Christians had such a sense of what's the base root of the word hospitality is hospital. They had hospitality. They were xenophiliacs. They loved to host and they loved to be hospitable. In a fitting symbol for the Christian as a xenophiliac, X comes from the Greek letter chi, the first letter of the Greek word Christos, which becomes Christ in English, a love for the unknown and the unfamiliar. A love for variety and diversity is at the heart of who God is and who God made us to be. By the way, the letter X is also the symbol for the unknown, stemming from an Arabic word for thing, used in algebra equations, which was translated into the old Spanish as xi and abbreviated as X. Any way you look at it, X, Christ and unknown go together. And that's why I was one of the few that was not unhappy when Elon Musk changed Twitter to X. How we become a Jesus man or a Jesus woman differs for every one of us. Jesus takes hold of each one of us in a dissimilar way, but it's the same Jesus leading us in the same direction. Jesus comes down and takes each one of us differently. Mosses that grow profusely in the forests of the Pacific Northwest are like coral reefs in the oceans. The biodiversity of both is colossal. You've got over 2,000 species of coral reefs, over 12,000 species of moss, dozens of which I see and touch every time I walk out of my front door. Don't mess with my moss. It is there in all of its diversity and profusion to bring, and all of its gradations of green. You got moss on almost every kind of green you can imagine. But it's there for a reason. And it helps to protect and preserve the forest floor and to bring life to the entire. This is really a temperate rainforest in the Pacific Northwest, like the Olympics and the Cascades. And part of our dehumanization is the loss of diverseness in the few foods we eat. The stomach of a preserved 25,000-year-old human body dug out of a Danish peat bog revealed the contents of the last meal. It was a porridge made with barley, flax, and the seeds of 40 different plants. You got that? 40 different plants were represented in his meal. In East Africa, the Hadza, one of the last remaining hunter-gatherer tribes, eat from a potential wild menu that consists of more than 800 plant and animal species. Humans, we only get 75% of our calories from eight foods: rice, wheat, corn, potatoes, barley, palm oil, soy, and sugar. Boring is the name for it. It's the surefire sign of the pseudo. And a boring diet is not human, but anti-human. Boring is decreation. Boring is dangerous. Bored to death is more than a metaphor, especially when a Jesus human is born to life, not born to death. My kids come in and say to me, we're bored. I say, no, you're not bored. You're having a semiotic breakdown. The problem is not with life. It's full of all sorts of exciting things. The problem is you. You can't see all the excitement in life. And that's why we get bored to death. And so a Jesus human is able to embrace things that would never push their like button. Just because some things are too difficult for me, let me be honest here. Joyce's Ulysses. You ever try to read that? Or just because some things are not to my liking, I'm sorry, Sondheim musicals. Or just because some things are beyond my endurance level, David Keenan's 808-page Monument Maker. Or just because some things are above my intellectual pay grade, like string theory and M theory, does not make them less true or less wonderful. We need both the solitary colors of the rainbow and we need the solidarity of the light. We love the rainbow, which is nothing but the light refracted into seven colors, all of which together make that one light. Hence, we need both solitary colors, solidarity of the light. This is a culture that makes orthodoxies poisonous and heterodoxies cleansing without realizing that some of the most toxic ideas in history are heterodoxies like Nazism. We celebrate diversity and difference, but we should never forget that has been what has been is diversity and difference in the service of solidarity and unity is what has made the biggest difference in the world. So let us love diversity and difference, not for diversity and difference sake, not for their own ends, but for the sake of experiencing the unity and the solidarity that we share as a Jesus human.
Thank you for listening to Napkin Scribbles. This episode contains notes and thoughts from Jesus Human, Primer for Common Humanity, Dr. Leonard Sweet's latest book, which can be found on Amazon.com. Remember, Napkin Scribbles is brought to you by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. For Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet, happy scratching and scribbling.